When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, another bonus podcast. This game was too good not to drop an audio edition of.
Yeah, I felt like there were so many things going on in this game that we had to make sure we hit on everything. So we just kept talking about everything.
Yeah, it was game number two, Knicks and Pacers we have to talk about. We also drop more content on our YouTube page. So please check it out, youtube.com/@Deuce and Mo. Like yesterday, we dropped a 5-minute breakdown of a picture of Vivek Ranadive posted of him, Mike Brown, Keegan Murray, Wes Wilcox, the assistant GM, Monty McNair, the GM, and Alvin Gentry on the golf course. And we broke down why we feel like this could mean something.
And you're just not going to get an analysis anywhere else, okay? So make sure to check it out.
Let's get to game two. So have they unveiled Jalen Brunson's statue yet outside MSG? He may be getting one because the legend grows. Jalen Brunson leaves this game in the first quarter, comes back in the third quarter. The Knicks were down double digits, and he willed them to victory. 24 points in the second half, and the Knicks rally back to beat the Pacers in game two to take a 2-0 series lead with a 130-121 win. So many angles, injury concerns to talk about, but first things first. Jalen effing Brunson.
Because you're exactly right. He put everyone on his back, but not with just like, hey, I'm going to dribble the basketball off the floor. I'm going to score all the points. I'm going to be the guy out here. It was this different type of inspiring spirit that he brought with him in that second half when he came back out there and was like, I don't care what happened to me in that first half, I'm ready to go. And obviously, it ended up being something with his foot. We just know it's a foot injury. This whole time, I kept telling Deuce, I'm like, are they lying about that? Are they lying about that? I can't tell what's going on with him. But right now, it is a foot injury, a right foot injury. Well,
I think part of it is like he gets hit in the dick, one. Okay.
Oh, my God.
It looked like he was grabbing his groin area.
Yes.
He's got his hands wrapped up. He just looks like he's beat up. He's getting banged around a lot, so you're not sure what the hell's going on. It turns out it's a right foot injury. He left this game at the 3:32 mark of the first quarter when the Knicks were up 24-17. And after he left, it obviously went to shit for them.
It
was much more difficult out them to generate things offensively. And you're like, oh no, is this going to fall apart? It didn't look like they were going to be able to win this game without him. Although OG kept them close in that first half.
Yes. He did such a great job, obviously, when Jalen Brunson wasn't on the floor, being like, all right, I'm going to be aggressive. I'm going to be the one attacking. And I love seeing how aggressive he was being offensively, because so many times I feel like that's just not a big part of his identity, his game.
And he ended up leaving the game with the injury. We'll talk more about that. But Jalen Brunson comes back in the third quarter. Pacers go up a dozen.
Yeah.
He was laboring out there. You're wondering, is he a decoy? Is he going to be able to finish this game? I turned to you at one point. I'm like, I don't think he's going to be able to finish this game. I don't know if it was adrenaline. I don't know if it was getting more comfortable out there, whatever they gave him at halftime, the crowd. But he kept competing. Yep. And that wasn't easy with TJ McConnell hounding him.
Hounding. I mean, you had Nembhard hounding him. Then you had TJ McConnell especially hounding him. And I say especially because there's so many moments, close-ups, angles, with all the cameras that the NBA has out there now, where it's not like you're seeing, oh, TJ hand check. You're seeing TJ tackle. In some ways, I loved that the refs weren't calling things. In some ways. In other ways, I felt like it was getting a little bit out of hand, a little bit like, I'm glad nothing else broke out into a fight. Guys didn't get too hostile out there, because it was very physical, and the Pacers did a fantastic job of trying to set that tone. TJ doing a great job on Brunson, trying to slow him down, but then What does Rick Carlisle do?
For the second straight game, pulls him in the fourth quarter.
Thank you.
And I told Maury, I'm like, they got to put him back in. I mean, I'm watching that going, this is not a matchup that's favorable. It's nothing against Nembhard. Brunson has the advantage on him. Brunson's getting buckets. He's not afraid to put his shoulder in and be physical, get just enough space to create that shot. Nembhard had no answer. And then the Pacers start blitzing. Oh, and I'm sorry, maybe it's because I have flashbacks to a Kings-Knicks game at MSG just about a month and a half ago where the Kings constantly blitzed.
You don't blitz Jalen Brunson.
Especially that high, because now you're asking your defense a lot. There's a lot of ground to cover. And I think the other point that needs to be made about this is when you blitz Brunson, who is smart enough to feel those blitzes and get the ball out.
The timing.
Guess who he gets the ball to? Isaiah Hartenstein or Josh Hart? Two guys that know how to make plays in that situation. The defense is rotating. There's a reason why tonight at the end of the game, you look at Isaiah Hartenstein was close to a triple-double. He had 8 assists in this game. Josh Hart had 7. Those two combined for 15 assists because of situations like that.
Yep.
Not all their assists came in the blitz situation, but it wasn't working. Even if it wasn't that next guy scoring, it was the ball was starting to move and have energy when they blitzed Brunson. It was a mistake.
The way that the defense, that the Pacers defense had to shift when they were blitzing Brunson, it was just too much for them, especially when Dante DiVincenzo was knocking down all of his shots, 6-for-12 from beyond the arc tonight. So it was like, he's knocking down his threes. You have someone in Josh Hart, if you're even, you know, giving him that first pass, speedy, boom, turns on the Jets, goes, yep. And then makes the next best play, you know, whether it's just a nice little shovel pass to his big or someone out in the corner. And so you just have too many smart offensive players on this Knicks team. They're willing to make that quick decision, and that's what they did every time. I don't understand why the Pacers didn't start going away from that. And when they did, though, then they just went Nembhard on Jalen Brunson, who, by the way, fantastic, fantastic defender. He does such a great job just trying to stay with him, being active, being so tough with him. But Jalen,
he was getting cooked.
But Jalen Brunson says, "This is not enough for me. And this is not enough."
Brunson might have been able to do the same thing against TJ. But here's what I know about TJ. He's strong, and he's going to make him work. And when a guy's banged up, that's what I want. I didn't feel like Nembhard put that same type of resistance. So TJ McConnell came out of this game after playing 450 in the fourth quarter. It was 105-103 at the time. They couldn't get stops after that. And then I thought they did a good job even in those other situations where, okay, maybe Brunson doesn't have the ball. Hart has it. Hart would attack Halliburton. The help comes over because Halliburton gets, you know, can't stay with Hart. Yeah. And then Hart does a great job finding Isaiah Hartenstein for a jam. I felt like the Pacers defense down the stretch was embarrassingly bad. Not making the move for the second consecutive game to put TJ back in there made no sense. And it's not just about the defense, about TJ McConnell either.
No, it's not.
TJ was getting inside the paint. He was setting up his teammates. The guy had a double-double tonight. He played 23 minutes, Morgan, 10 points, 12 assists, 4 rebounds on 7 of 10 shooting. Dude. The Knicks have a problem with this guy. He's tough to guard at times. He gets to a spot in the mid-range, a little fall away. He has a nice crossover. He can get in the paint, spray out. He makes things happen out there. And for him to only play 23 minutes makes no sense.
His playmaking ability, the way that he was creating for others, it just felt like there was this different fire with the Pacers out there on both ends of the floor when he was out there on the floor. This isn't always going to be the case with TJ McConnell, but what you saw in game one was, ooh, good things were happening with him out there. Mistake, not letting him play late in game. And then this game, game two, same situation, especially it's not like he was a liability on either end. It's not like, oh, Jalen Brunson's cooking him. Now let's put Nembhard in. It's like they should have. Rick Carlisle, he was just out of his own head tonight.
Yep.
And I don't think he was looking at it like that. And I just think this situation could have been much easier for the Pacers, especially Deuce, because the way that they came out in this game, I said, I was like, holy shit, they're playing like the Knicks right now. They are being, playing in the backcourt, getting them, you know, 8 second calls, backcourt violations, all these different things that were going on with this Pacers intense defense, and they just didn't have it down the stretch.
And the other thing I think they failed to do is they didn't attack Brunson enough defensively. again, this guy's not moving well. You can see it out there. He moved better as the game went on, it felt like.
Oh, later in adrenaline the game. Yeah, really
for sure.
In. Yeah.
But I feel like they didn't test him enough, especially when breaking news at this hour, OG Anunoby left this game late third quarter. He left at the 327 mark. It was a crazy play. Again, great defense on this situation where Ben Shepherd goes to attack, and I believe it was Josh Hart came over for the block. OG's going out in transition. He goes up and comes up limp, and you're going, what the hell happened? He immediately grabs his hamstring. The Knicks end up scoring on the play, but it was 90-81 at that point. Mm-hmm. Point. OG out, wondering if he's going to come back. Is it a cramp? No, it's a hamstring injury, and he doesn't come back in this game. No. They go with Precious Achiuwa, and I just felt like late game, I'm like, Siakam can't get some buckets late in this game?
That. Let's go to that, because that was confusing. You're exactly right. We know what OG is capable, obviously, as a defender. Please don't mind the barking in the background.
Those are Knicks here, huh?
Good one. Hey, shut up, dog. So OG, obviously, his length, right? It's just incredible what he can do on Pascal Siakam. Just contest all the things. Pascal wasn't attacking enough. You started then seeing him slowly get to his spots more and more and be like, okay, my team needs me out here. He started getting deeper and deeper into the paint when Josh Hart was guarding him. But late game,
can we get him some pick and roll situations? Agreed. Can we put Brunson in some action and attack? They didn't do that. And Siakam ends up in this game 14 points on 7 of 18 shooting. For him to only have 14 points in a game where OG leaves, that's tough, especially against the Knicks team. That's not deep. Okay, they went they technically went 8 deep tonight. Alec Burks played 1 minute. So they went 7 deep in this game, okay? You did not make them work enough late in this game. I also think they need to get Obi Toppin some more minutes. He's been a problem in the series every time, similar to TJ McConnell. He makes shit happen. I know defensively it's not always great, but he's been hitting the three. He's been getting second chance
offensive
opportunities.
Boards, yep.
He brings life.
Here's my thing, because we started talking about this when we were watching the game. I'm like, how do you get Obi out there and TJ back out there late in the game? I'm like, both these guys, you know, Obi Toppin being such an offensive force, knocking down his shots, just you could feel this different energy from him because it's his former team and he knows how to play in that arena. But I asked you, I go, how do you get him back in there? You said,
well, it's tough because you have Neesmith out there. You want him out there for defensive purposes, right? You're not taking Siakam out. You want Turner out there. You have Halliburton out there, and the only spot is Nembhard. Do you go Nembhard? Do you go TJ? You know, like, so you, but my point is, can you get him? Can you give him 25 minutes in this game, especially against a Knicks team at this point that is thin? Okay, they have injuries galore. Who knows about OG going forward too? I mean, let this guy get out and run. That's when the Pacers are at their best. I just felt like when he's out there, TJ's out there, especially in that first half, things looked really, really strong for the Pacers. I know we're going on a lot of Pacers stuff, which is fine because that's where this kind of went. Tyrese Halliburton got off to a fantastic start.
And yes.
We're watching this going, this is how all-star players bounce back.
Yep.
You have a six-point game last game where you take 6 shots, 1 in the second half, none in the fourth quarter. How are you going to respond? He had 22 points on 7 of 12 shooting, 5 of 8 from 3 in the first half. What did you like about his first half?
There we go. Start with the first half, because I thought with the first half he was doing a fantastic job of being aggressive. Even if he wasn't necessarily looking to score in the paint, if he wasn't necessarily looking to score at the rim, he was finally really attacking the paint, whether he was creating for others, just making the Knicks defense shift from side to side, scramble up a little bit, and then you put him and Miles Turner in that little pick and pop, pick and roll, whatever Miles Turner wanted to do. Every single time it seemed to screw with the New York Knicks defense.
He had some
great
passes.
Yes, fantastic passes. And whenever there was a quick miscommunication, he would make a quick decision, have a nice, really hard pass to whoever it was that was down at the block or in the corner. And you're just, it's magic, right? Beautiful performance. First half performance from Tyrese Halliburton.
It's worth noting too, he had 1 shot attempt in the paint last game. Okay. He took 7 in the paint tonight. So making sure to attack, get the defense collapse, knocking down some shots. I think that's going to do wonders for his confidence. In the second half, he had 12 points. He had a late 3 at the end of the game. still counts, but yeah. 12 points, 4 of 7 shooting, 2 of 3 from downtown. They did, I felt like in the second half, the Knicks did a much better job defending him. I think there were times in that first half where Josh Hart played well off of him. And I'm sorry, you can't. If you're defending Tyrese, I think you got to play up into him and bump him and be physical. You give him space. One, he can get downhill on you. He can be kind of shifty. Or two, he's going to launch the three.
Yep.
You give him the space and you get him going, especially those deep threes, it could be problematic. I thought DiVincenzo did a nice job putting pressure on him in the second half. But I thought, again, he was too passive. He's got to take more shots. In these type of moments, you got to be more aggressive.
I'm with you.
And the shift has to be there. I loved his approach to start tonight. I think he had opportunities in this game to be more aggressive. He got too passive.
Yeah, and I don't know what it is for him, because I didn't feel like it was necessarily the Knicks defense, which, by the way, tends to be the story in any game that the Knicks play. But I didn't feel like that was the story in this one of really shutting down Tyrese Haliburton. It was, if anything, on him going back to what he did in game one, being passive, like you mentioned, and just obviously some of those more open passes weren't available, weren't there. When he could just sling the ball, get it there, it was a sexy assist, whatever. That wasn't happening. And when that wasn't happening, though, like, he's still so capable of putting the ball on the floor and creating something else. I just feel like he's not doing that enough. I know the Knicks' pressure is there, but I felt like this was one of those games where the team, this Pacers team down the stretch especially, needed him to look to score and not just look to be out there and create.
Yeah, so at the end of the game, he finishes with 34 points, 9 assists, 6 rebounds. But you just felt like maybe there was something more there.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
By the way, I just looked at the stat sheet, too, when we were talking about Toppin.
Yeah.
I didn't realize he finished with 20 points in this game.
Yeah. No, I did. I 20 saw points in 20 minutes. 20 points in 20 minutes.
You
got
to find a way to get him more minutes. I mean, I was just looking
That's
at his life.
That's why I said it when we were watching.
I'm just stunned by that. Yeah, because again, the bench points for Indiana tonight were 46-12, which I think can end up playing a significant role going forward in this series in game three.
Agreed.
Yeah, so... You know, Miles Turner tonight, really quiet night. 6 points, 7 rebounds. He was 3 of 11. He took some bad shots.
That step back three that he tried even taking
on Hartenstein,
like, it just made no sense. It was like, you guys could still chip away.
They rushed too much. They had opportunities. I felt like if they showed a little more patience, and I think that's kind of the problem with the team who plays fast all the time. There are times late in the game, in a playoff game, where maybe it's not play fast. Like, let's relax a little bit. Yeah. It doesn't mean we need to slow it down. We want to be fast in our half court sets and play with pace in the half court, but we want to get good shots. And I think sometimes teams who play fast get into this habit of, that means we have to shoot fast. Mm-hmm. It's like, no. Get good shots.
Yep.
Contested threes, fading over Hartenstein.
Yep.
Not a good shot.
No, it's not. So ultimately, when I look at this Pacers team, and what went wrong down the stretch, they needed more from two of their leaders in Haliburton and Siakam, especially aggressively on the offensive end. And by the way, I felt like Siakam was still being aggressive, but then there was a few times where, just like you're saying, he would rush a shot over Josh Hart or rush a shot over whoever. And it's like, dude, turn around, elevate, create your space. It's such a sexy mid-range shot, and you've been making it, so go back to that. So that, I felt like their defense intensity as a team slowed down a little bit. Obviously, you still had the on-ball pressure when it came to just hounding Jalen Brunson and trying to get up on everyone. And I thought trying to still blitz Brunson, especially in that fourth quarter, was just a huge mistake. I thought it was so deflating for this Pacers team.
Play TJ Moore.
And play TJ Moore.
All right, let's talk more about the Knicks, the team who won this game. Oh, because please. It's not just about what the Pacers did not do. It's about what we talked about at the start of this. Jalen Brunson's just will, his determination. Dude, he had 29 points in 32 minutes. 32 minutes for him, that's like he rested tonight. Okay, this was like a DNP for him.
I know.
He's usually playing well over 40 minutes. He ended his streak of four straight 40-point games, but to have 29 on 11 of 18 in 32 minutes, he's not 100%. I think I'm a little concerned about him going forward in this series, but for him to come back and play those minutes in the second half shows me that maybe with some treatment, he'll be all right for game three.
Agreed. I'm not even going to worry about that right now because I truly just want to talk about his special performance. That felt like a movie, right? When they come back out and they're like limping, they're like, I got this, coach. You know, you see him talking under his hand to Josh Hart at the half, talking to Tibbs, being like, I got this. And it was special. It wasn't, when he was out there, you and I both noticed this, he purposely tried acting like, there is no pain. I feel nothing. Let's effing go. And when your leader is doing that, when, by the way, he was back in the locker room for that long, and your leader comes out and he doesn't show even like a wince. Like, I felt like even Brian Anderson in the broadcast at times, when he would get foul on a play and go down, they'd be like, oh, and he looks hurt. I'm like, he doesn't look hurt. He just looks like he got thrown to the ground by a big body. Like, he's not showing any pain. Dude,
some of the finishes he had, too, with contact, big and ones.
Huge.
With the left, with the right. The threes!
It was like an NBA movie watching that fourth quarter, especially.
They were 14 of 30 from three tonight, too.
Wow.
So that's 46%. Indiana was 15 of 34. Go ahead.
And another thing I just want to say, I think sometimes when you have your leader coming back and playing like that, Josh Hart played all 48 minutes.
I'm glad you brought this up because I had this right before we started. Let's play a game called Josh Hart's Minutes in the Playoffs.
This playoffs. Okay. So
it's not really a game. I'm just going to go over them. Okay. In this series against Philly, 42 minutes. 48 minutes, 43 minutes, 45 minutes, 53 minutes, okay, and 46-30. Game one against Indiana, 48. Game two, 48.
Special.
Josh Hart, special. When you're retired, you know what you could do? Sell your conditioning program to people. People need to know, how do you get in that type of shape? Are a freak.
It's gotta be like 90% mental, and the rest is like you're saying, like just obviously being able to put in that work and have the will to put in that work. I mean, look at all the times that we talk about when he goes after 50-50 balls and big rebounds. He plays so much bigger than he actually is. And to be able to have those minutes in playoff games, by the way, which is an entirely different basketball game at times. Exhibit A being game two of this series where everyone was getting knocked left and right. So, yeah, Josh Hart, just an amazing teammate, being able to be out there for his team when they obviously needed him to play like this too.
Yeah, and he did a much better job taking care of the ball in the second half. He had no turnovers in the second half. He had five in the first half, and I think he really felt with Brunson out, there was a lot of pressure. It's like, I think they were looking around like, who's going to score? I felt like Miles McBride was trying to be aggressive at times. He was like, this is clunky right now. We're already down Mitchell Robinson. Yeah. We can talk about that. He's done for the rest of the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
Boyan's still out, duh. We know Julius had been out forever.
Yep.
Now you got OG banged up, Brunson banged up, so many guys out. So it was a little clunky, but Josh Hart finishes with 19 points, 15 rebounds, 7 assists, that block I mentioned on Shepherd, and a steal in this game. Another fantastic game. This guy is... I think I've said this to you before. This Knicks team, like, we're in Sacramento, mm-hmm. all right? We're Kings fans.
Yeah.
But this Knicks seems so easy to root
so
for.
So easy
because
to
you're
root
like, for. Tonight, you're like, oh, you're not going to win this game. When OG left, I said, Morgan, they're not winning this game. They're not going to get enough stops. It's not happening.
Oh, yeah, you said they're not going to get enough stops. And then right after you said that, Dante DiVincenzo had tipped the ball away.
Yeah.
And he said, shut the F up, dude.
Yeah. So, but they find ways to get it done. And that's why it's like Jalen Brunson, this little guy, he's 6'2". Okay, he's 6 foot. The guy is incredible. I don't care how tall he is. The guy hits tough shots, plays tough, up and down the lineup. That's why I was telling Morgan before this. I'm like, let's just go up and down the lineup. Josh Hart, awesome. Hartenstein,
awesome.
14 points, 12 rebounds, 8 assists. We talk about his playmaking. And it's not just in situations where he gets blitz. I think what Hartenstein, he's a really underrated passer. Like, I think Knicks fans understand it, but he does such a good job because he's so big. He holds the ball up high. I mean, he had Isaiah Jackson on him once, and he just literally fired it right over his head to find the open man.
He's a smart big, and he's willing to make that quick decision. Yeah. I mean, how many times do you see when Jalen Brunson's trying to make that extra backdoor cut, and his timing of understanding to get that pocket pass or to split the defenders with that ball, lead his guard to the basket with that pass, he gets that. So having that ability and then also having that size is just tremendous. You have another playmaker out there, and especially a playmaker to have out there when there's so much pressure and attention on other guys along the perimeter.
Dante DiVincenzo.
That, like, every time I see him shoot the shit out of the basketball like this, like, I'm so excited for him. I'm very happy for him.
The shooting's been great. I felt like part of the, you know, Brunson coming back at the beginning of the third quarter brought them a little bit juice, but the Pacers scored Rao that, and they're up 12. Dante went into attack mode. I think Dante scored 8 to 10 consecutive points, and it wasn't just threes, it was attacking. He had that big jam when he was attacking. But the 3-point shooting's been tremendous. He was 6 of 12 from downtown.
And Stan Van Gundy was making a point on the broadcast too, which, I mean, it's such an obvious point, but it's like, it's always nice to hear once in a while when it's not someone like Steph Curry, when it's someone like Dante DiVincenzo. And he was talking about how, yeah, you have a guard that can shoot, but if you can move without the basketball too, like, you are something different.
Oh, yeah,
and that's exactly, he's not only willing to move without the basketball, he's also, he's able to score at the rim, to throw it down. I mean, whoever is there, get crafty and score.
That was, I think the play that he had, the dunk, was when Nesmith was kind of overplaying him, denying him from the 3-point line. And you're right. He moved without the ball, cut. They found him, dunked it, amazing play, brings life, energy. And then he gets so many good looks because, well, you're going to blitz Brunson. That means trouble. You can't leave a guy like that open. 6 of 12 from downtown. He had 28 points in this game.
Yeah.
6 rebounds, 4 assists.
You look at that starting lineup right there, that starting unit, and it truly was a story of resiliency tonight and playing together and playing with their same identity that they have played all season long with so much adversity thrown at them, but they, like, don't lose it. I don't know if Tibbs, like, teaches that that shit, or they do that for each other.
It's so much about next man up with this group, and I get it, but now you're going next man up.
Ooh.
I mean, Tom Thibodeau's not really looking at next man up anymore, even with OG. And as with this series goes to Indiana for game 3, Pacers down 2-0 in this series. I mean, look, I'm not a doctor, but the OG, when you start talking about hamstrings, that's not usually something you, like, rest a day and go, I'm back to ready to go and play 48 minutes on the Knicks, like, and play in attack mode. I loved how OG came out in this game. You know, we talk about Tyrese Haliburton's big first half. Well, he matched him. He had 22 points in the first half, and he was aggressive. I think there are times, you know, watching OG with the Knicks, you're like, are you just going to be a catch-and-shoot three? Mm-hmm. He put the ball on the floor. He was making it a point to attack the rim, using his length. And I love that he came out aggressive. And I think he felt like he needed to with the attention that Brunson was going to receive. He did such a great job of that. He left the game playing 28 minutes. He had 28 points in those 28 minutes, and then his defense has just been legit. I mean, this is where I'm concerned about with him out, is, like, one, they just can't afford to lose more guys.
Yeah.
But two, you did feel it defensively, where Siakam got some better looks without him.
Sure.
But it's not just those looks that Siakam's going to get. It's just his length contesting in the paint. And the Pacers did a much better job in some of the fourth quarter of getting in the paint and getting some good looks, because Precious was just not doing a great job protecting the paint.
Yeah, no, and that's that's going to be a concern going forward. And that's why, I mean, like you've already said, we already know what OG has been capable defensively, especially on ball, but him in that team defense and what it adds. And now what they're losing, it's going to be huge. And just like you said, they're going to Indiana, and Indiana, the way that they've come out these last two games, even though they've lost at Madison Square Garden, so on the road, hostile environment. I mean, how many times have we seen TJ McConnell getting in a fight with fans like throughout the throughout the end of this game? I mean, it's not like, oh, it's all over. It's like this, if anything, now you kind of, I can't say, I'm not going to act like you have the momentum going in Indiana. Pacers are going to be just fine. But when you looked at how banged up this Knicks
team is, man, can
Dante DiVincenzo have another shooting night like this? Can Josh Hart keep playing 48 effing minutes in all these games? And I do too. But it's
how's Brunson going to feel? Okay. He missed a huge stretch of this game. Is he going to be good? Mm-hmm. And if OG's out, I'm concerned for the Knicks.
And also, how will the Pacers adjust? Because I feel like what I saw, even the way that they started this game, they made some really good adjustments from game one, right? Just setting the tone differently with their physicality. Their defense just looked on point. Tyrese being more aggressive. And although they went away from that, I wonder if even Rick Carlisle will look at everything all the way down to TJ playing in late minutes and going, this is where I need to go.
For me, yes, there's definitely some on-floor things that the players can do better, but some of this is coaching and making the right tweaks. This is the playoffs. You've got to play the cards right. And when TJ, you know, they keep, oh, he looks tired out there sometimes. He keeps going.
Yeah. Right?
And if he's ready, the guy can play more minutes for you. And if you need him, you got to play him more. I think you've seen enough that would suggest play this guy more minutes. Well, I can't wait for game three.
Same. I'm excited to see, like I already said, how the Pacers adjust. What does this New York Knicks team even look like? It's going to be interesting.
Let us know if you're enjoying these bonus pods too. You can always email the show deuceandmo@gmail.com. We love you guys, but we gots to go.
See ya.
Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo. Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.